And yet, he loves the person that's sitting out there that is all messed up, that may be listening live right now. Maybe you're high on drugs. Maybe you're drunk. Maybe you're fornicating. I don't know, but I tell you that he loves you. He loves you so much, he let Christ suffer in your place.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello everyone. It's great having you tuning in for Pastor Bill's final message from his series in the New Testament epistle of 2 Corinthians. So we'll join Pastor now as he concludes the study with part two of Be Restored.
Paul closes out and he says this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you what? He was from Fort Worth, wasn't he? Be with you all. You know what I mean? He was probably a Texan. And then he said, so be it forever. Amen, amen, and amen. Now listen, this verse is so powerful because you know what Paul just did? He just told this church and he told us, number one, how to stay mended after you're restored and how to stay restored as well. You see, I know from just of years of being in the ministry that most believers, the majority of believers, I believe after a certain number of years, they truly understand the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he is full of grace and truth. Amen? He is those things. And the incredible, unmerited, undeserved, unearned divine favor of God that we have, that we have been saved by grace. We have nothing to brag about. Matter of fact, we're still a bunch of whatever. You know what I mean? No, there's not any of us special. We're all special to God. You know what I mean? But when I think about this verse, and again, most believers understand it, you know, that grace of God, Romans 8, what, 39, that there's absolutely nothing. Nothing in this universe, nothing in hell, nothing on this earth, nothing that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing. Not death, not life, not demons, nothing. Not created things, nothing. Not suffering, not sword, not peril, nothing will ever separate you from Christ. That's grace, isn't it? Man, now I know that we have that one down. And I know that most believers have the next one, the incredible love of God. We know that the Bible teaches us about God's love. It says in John 3:16, you know it by heart, for God so, he loved the world. Not the flowers and the trees, but people. For God so loved the world, he did something. He loved the lost people of this world so much, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever then would just put their faith and trust and believe in him would be saved. Not perish and have everlasting life. See, we understand that God's love is absolutely unchangeable. God is love. It doesn't go up. It doesn't go down. He loves you. He loves you just as much as he loves Jesus, his own son. Amen? And yet, he loves the person that's sitting out there that is all messed up, that may be listening live right now. Maybe you're high on drugs. Maybe you're drunk. Maybe you're fornicating. Maybe I don't know, but I tell you that he loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much, he let Christ suffer in your place. Amen? The incredible, unbelievable love of God. He proved his own love for us. Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, he demonstrated or proved his own love for us. Christ died for us. And then when we think about how much God loves us, it says in 1 John 3:1, I love this scripture, behold what manner of love that God the Father has bestowed, lavished, poured out upon all of us, that we should be called the children of God. Isn't that a glorious scripture? If you looked up that word, what manner, in Greek, it's one word, I believe, if I remember correctly, it means a love that is not from this planet. It's a love that is from out of this world, meaning it's the agape of God that can only come down from heaven. Amen? God loves you. So we understand the grace of our Lord Jesus. We understand the love of God. But you know, here's the problem. The next one is where so many then, and this was the only way Corinth is going to get right, and this is the only way we're going to stay right, is that we have to understand when Paul said, the communion of, or with rather, the Holy Spirit. That is a glorious, I don't want to sound silly, but when I understood that scripture many, many years ago, it changed my life. Because it made the Holy Spirit real to me. Does that make sense? You see, the communion with the Holy Spirit. Paul says, be restored. And you know how the church, they were restored and how we were restored? It's when the Holy Spirit of God, who is God, is given his proper place in the believer's life, given his proper place in the life of the church. And you know what happens? We then become like Jesus on this planet. Because the Holy Spirit is directing our ways. He's directing our path. Listen, how was the church birthed? It was by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Amen? So when we understand that, see, the false teachers, you know, they wanted power, didn't they? They had power, but they didn't want power. They just wanted power. They were experts in greed. They wanted your money, in other words. They wanted to rip you off. They wanted the preeminence. They wanted to be like an apostle. You know what I mean. And you know what? The disciples were like that as well. Remember what they did? You know, when Jesus, before he ascended, remember he took them out as far as Bethany, and he went and started talking to them, appearing, you know, 40 days and 40 nights, and then he told them, you know, what they needed to do. And they talked to the Lord before he ascended and said, now, Lord, are you going to restore Israel? And he just looked at them and said, what? You know, restore Israel? You know, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. And then Jesus said this, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power. You see, the disciples, you're going to restore, Lord, we're going to set up your kingdom, right? You're going to get power. Does that make sense? We're going to defeat Rome. We're going to kick them. Oh, yeah. No, guys, you are so confused. See, I'm talking about power, not power. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come. What's that word? Upon. When the Holy Spirit not comes in you, you're already born again. You're already sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's that hapi in the Greek. When he comes, epi, rather, he comes upon you. He endues you with the power from heaven because you're powerless and you need power in this life to follow me and to fulfill the ministry that I'm calling you to. Amen? See, the false teachers, they didn't want power. They wanted power. And the people at Corinth, they weren't even walking in what they had. They were walking in the flesh. They weren't walking in the power of God. They weren't experiencing any communion, I believe, at all. Not everyone, of course, but the majority with the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen, what does the word communion mean in the Greek? We know the word. We have a cafe named after it, right? Koinonia. It speaks of what? Sharing, participation, intimacy, walking with someone. Getting to know someone. It speaks of us participating in our walk with the Holy Spirit as he works in the life of the believer. That verse is so significant. We participate in his power. He is the divine helper of the church. And as he works through the church, what did Jesus say the Holy Spirit would do? John 16:14, he says, he will glorify me. He will not glorify us. He will glorify Jesus. Amen? Whenever the Holy Spirit has his proper place in the church, loved one, only Jesus is glorified. Not man, not a ministry, not a pastor, not a position. Do you understand? The Holy Spirit glorifies our Lord. Now listen to me. I pray that you really grasp what I'm about to say. You know, I know if you know that communion with the Holy Spirit is available, because he's right here. I mean, he's with us right this minute, isn't he? Yeah, he's the paraclete. He comes alongside of us. He's the divine helper of the Christian, the divine helper in the church. He's our comforter, our strengthener, our standby. He's our intercessor. He helps us to pray. He leads us. He guides us. He illuminates the Word of God because he is the Spirit of truth. But when you desire true fellowship, communion, intimacy, and you want to participate in your walk with the Holy Spirit of God, there's something that you have to do. And this is what the church of Corinth was not doing. You have to practice agreement. I mean, the word practice is important. you have to say, this is what God's word said, I want to do it. Does that make sense? In other words, all of us are called to be ambassadors of Christ. Is that correct? I don't know why I'm leaning over here, but this I'm worried about. No. Have we all been given the ministry of reconciliation? Are we all fishers of men? Have we all been given a supernatural divine gift from heaven? Okay, if we fail, if we say, no, I'm not doing that, are we in agreement with the Holy Spirit? No. See, now we're out of agreement. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together if they're not in agreement? You can't do it. See, whenever the Holy Spirit tells you to do something in your heart, you need to do it. I told you the story. Remember years ago, I was a baby Christian, and I went to pick up this guy at the airport. And as I'm sitting there, I'm getting ready to get on the plane. And I'm sitting there, and I don't know what terminal, doesn't really matter. Doesn't need to be in the story. Anyway, I'm sitting there. But it's just like this. Here I am, and there was one row of chairs on this wall, just one row. And then all the others were out there just like you guys. So there was not one chair left. I have to go sit right over here. I'm sitting, everybody's looking at me. I'm a very shy person, you know. No, I really am. But people scare me. You scare me. Believe me. So I'm sitting there. And so, as God is my witness, I felt like this. Lord spoke to my heart. He said, stand up. Tell them about Jesus. I grabbed the bottom of my chair. Sweat. This is pizza. This is, you know, and I'm allergic to cheese anyway. So that had to be it. It wasn't God. I have to be honest and say I did not stand up. I've regretted that all my life. I was fearful. But I was learning the intimacy, the communion, the participation of the Holy Spirit of God. I was learning His voice, that inner voice that speaks to you. In other words, it was confirmed from the Word. You're the ambassador of Christ. Does that make sense? I could prove what was being said to me. Does that make sense? Okay, it wasn't some bizarre. It was what God had already said in His Word. Now, with all that being said, see, if we're not practicing agreement with Him, then we're not gonna understand the fellowship. We're gonna miss out. You know as well as I do, there are times the Lord will speak to your heart. And as He does, you know, He'll say something crazy like, you know, you need to help the family across the street. Or you'll see a person, just give them some gas, something. You'll just know it. It's overwhelming, gnawing on you. You know, you just know. I've done that so many times, and it's always been right. It's always been right. It's always been the Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about, loved one. So you have to practice that agreement. That's what Paul was telling them. Get back with the communion of the Holy Spirit of God. But see, there's more. The next thing that we have to do, and you've heard me speak surely this many times over the last many, many years here, is that we have to practice awareness. He's here, the Holy Spirit, every day. When you go to sleep, does the Holy Spirit sleep? No. The Holy Spirit is not a language. It's not a force. It's not an essence. The Holy Spirit is God, Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to not leave you orphans. I'm going to send you another, meaning another me. Now, He's right here. We're sealed with the Spirit. But I'm talking about the Holy Spirit being alongside of us, endowment of power, leading us, guiding us. Don't go there. Don't do this. Yes, do that. You know, help this person. Do what? Wake up and pray. Do you understand? Now listen, but if we are not practicing awareness, you're going to get in trouble. Because the Bible commands us to not grieve, in Ephesians 4, the Holy Spirit. You cannot grieve a force. You can only grieve a person. Amen? Okay, now, practice that awareness. Do not grieve. That word means to make sad, to vex, hurt. Do not vex. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not quench the Spirit of God. Now, listen to me. If you are not aware, practicing awareness, if you're not aware of His presence, you will never be aware of His feelings. Do you understand? Don't watch that. Where did that come from? Don't do that. Turn that off. Are you listening to me? See, if you're not aware of His feelings, He loves you. He leads you. He guides you. Glory to glory to glory. If you're not aware of His feelings, you're not ever going to be aware of His incredible, beautiful presence. There is nothing greater than having communion with the Holy Spirit of God. He will take you where you never thought you could go. He'll enable you, like Peter, to walk on water if that's God's will. Do you understand me? He'll send you down to the creek and say, grab a fish and pull out your tax money out of a fish's mouth. Amen? When you follow the Holy Spirit, you don't know where he's going to take you, the work he's going to raise up, the things that he's going to do. Never, ever be afraid to follow the Spirit of God. And if you make a mistake, that's how you learn. Amen? I mean, listen, when you make a mistake, like if you miss dinner, do you say, well, I'm never going to have dinner again? No way. No, you say, you understand. It's a bad example, I guess. I don't know. Oh, you have to do that. That's what's so important. And you know, I'll tell you something. There may be some today, you're here right now this minute, you know what? And you say, you know what? I need to mend my walk. Let me tell you how you do it. You have an ever-present friend. He says to you, have you gotten to know me? Have you gotten to know me? I'll never leave you. Never relax my hold upon you. I'll take you where you have never been before. That glory to glory, loved one, is an adventure. And that's what God has for us all. Maybe you're here, you're a believer, and you go, you know, I don't know, Bill, I just feel empty, man. I don't know why. And it's easy to feel empty in this crummy world that we live in. You know, but the fact, you may say, you know what, I don't know what's wrong with my walk. I mean, I think I try to do all the right things, but I feel like something is missing. The greatest thing you can do, listen to me now, go to the Lord in prayer and say, Father, if there is anything in my walk, if there is anything in my life that I am missing, that I'm supposed to have from you, but I don't have it, would you let me have it now? Immerse me in your Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 is a command. Be ye being filled with the Spirit of God. It's a command every day. Be filled. Lord, fill me. Immerse me. Saturate me. Listen, that's what's needed in all of our lives, to obey that command. Now, you know what plagued me this week about the church at Corinth was Paul gave us the steps and them for restoration. Amen? But were they restored? You know what? I went to every resource that I had in my library to find out if they were restored or not. And I could not find anything from any theologian that said Corinth obeyed the Lord and now they were back whole again. However, I do believe that they were. I believe they repented. I believe they went and loved one another. I believe they did participate in that offering to the saints of Jerusalem. Remember? I believe they did all those things. But I also believe that it was a very short-lived thing. And the reason I say that is as I investigated all those things, I went after Paul, of course, had died by Nero's hand. In 96 AD, Clement of Rome, who was the bishop of Rome, he was one of the early church fathers, he wrote a letter to the church of Corinth, which we have today. Let me read this to you. It says, now this is 40 years later, about 40 years later, after Paul penned that epistle. It says this in the letter from Clement. He says, wherefore, he says to the church of Corinth, why are there strifes and angers and fractions and divisions and war among you? Have we not one God, one Christ, one Spirit of grace that was shed upon us? And is there not one calling in Christ? Wherefore, why are you tearing each other up? Why are you rending asunder the members of Christ? Why are you stirring up divisions against our own body and reach to such a pitch of folly as to forget that we are members of one another? That is a sad discourse for a church. Amen? See, they didn't get that spirit broken. They didn't do, I'll tell you why I think they didn't do it. They did not do the communion of the Holy Spirit. They weren't practicing that agreement. In other words, when I have aught with someone and I'm really walking in the Spirit as you should be walking in the Spirit, and I say, Lord, I repent. Be quick to repent. Amen? Boy, I do. I say, Lord, forgive me. Like I told you Wednesday night, those guys in those two trucks, this 15 stories high, I want to get out. It's like, you know what? I'm going, wah, gotcha, wah. I mean, how do you get out of a parking place when you can't see? I got to get out of my car and walk over here. Is there a car coming? And by the time I run back and get in the car and pull up, there's a car coming. Three times I did that. Then I got my knife and stuck it in that tire. In the car, the trucks went. You know, I would never do that. Now I'm going to start backing in like everybody else. I've got good insurance. They did not practice the fellowship, the koinonia, the intimacy, the love of the Holy Spirit of God. They didn't practice it. No, I have to forgive. I have to forgive because Jesus forgave me. Amen? I have to mend my brother. I have to care about my sister. We work for the Lord. This is His church. They failed to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's such a sad thing. You know, what does it really take to mend a broken life? You ever think about that? I'm going to tell you something. If you're not born again, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord, you're listening live, you're here right now. If Jesus is not your Lord, you don't need restoration. You don't need remodeling. You need to be completely, born again. In other words, you're dead in trespasses and sins. You need to come home to Christ because you need to be a new creation where you can finally say, hey, old things are passing away. All things become new. Now listen to me. I don't ever make it hard to be saved because it's not hard to come to Christ. Did you know that? You don't need to pray a 5-hour prayer, 30-minute prayer, any of those. You just need to do one thing. Whenever Paul, the apostle, and Silas were in prison there, remember, and they were released, they were singing those praises at midnight, remember, and the earthquake happened and the chains fell off all the prisoners. And remember what the jailer did? He ran out and said to Paul, and then he saw he was getting ready to kill himself because, you know, these prisoners. He said, oh, Paul, no, don't do that. And he said, oh, sirs, in Acts 16, he said, oh, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What can I do? Because I want to be saved. What do I do? And you remember what Paul said? Very simple. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. That's it. Now, wait a minute. That's it. What must I do? There's only one thing you can do if you don't know Christ. Believe. Believe in Him. It says in Romans 10, you confess with your mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. God says, I'll save you. If you don't know Christ, would you pray this prayer with me right now? Bow your heads. If you don't know the Lord, please, in Jesus' name, come to Him right now. Pray this prayer, this simple prayer with Him right this minute. Church, help me out. Say, Father, You said there's only one thing I need to do to be saved, and that is to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. I believe in You. And I believe that God raised You from the dead. Father, You promised if I would only believe, You would save me. I believe. Therefore, I'm saved. In Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, no one looking around. This is only another act of faith. That's all this between you, me, and God. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart, you don't have to come down to this altar, but would you lift your hand to God and say, I prayed that prayer. I believed in my heart. I confess Christ. Yes, I believe. Yes, I believed in my heart. And I ask Christ. Anyone else that would do that right now where I can see, lift your hand and put it right back down. Well, Father, I thank You for the work that You've done in this place. I pray, Father, for those also online right now that are listening that just prayed that prayer. Lord, that You would just so fill them and fill us with Your Spirit. For there is no one like You. We ask it, we believe it, and we receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church said, Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed Pastor Bill's 2 Corinthians study and that this series has helped you grow in your understanding of God's Word. Amen? And now we look ahead to Pastor's next series, which is from the New Testament epistle of James. This promises to be a vital study on the importance of faith in God, and we encourage you to tune in tomorrow for Pastor Bill's introduction to the book of James. And of course, we want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails, and we pray that the remainder of your day is blessed. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.